Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering all of your lawn and garden questions this morning. Teresa, good morning. Hello, Teresa. There she is.
Hello there. Here I am.
I knew you were there somewhere. Good morning. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. And you're not surprised, I know, when I told you there were already and have been getting lawn and garden questions, even as much as early this morning, earlier this morning.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and it's that time of year. Now, if you have any kind of a lawn and garden question for Teresa, by all means, sooner rather than later, give us a call or send a text, 651-461-9226. All right, we're already on a roll here, Teresa. Before I ask you what you're going to be doing in your yard or garden today, let me tell you this. Evidently, there is a lot of confusion, and I'll just read it. Good morning. Can you please clarify why and how, quote, no-mow May should be slow-mow summer instead? Lots of confusion among my neighbors. That comes from Jane.
There's a lot of confusion among everyone about that. When we first heard about no-mow May, it sounded like a really good idea. Don't mow your grass. Let the pollinators enjoy everything. And then once they're all up and going and other stuff is growing, then you can start mowing your yard. Then they did a little more research and found out it wasn't that beneficial, and that if we just think of our yard as an ecosystem, or your lawn, and then just let it grow a little bit taller, mow it a little less frequently, let some of the flowers in there, like maybe the dandelions, or if you have a bee lawn, the clover, let those bloom, and then you can cut off all the flowers before they go to seed, and then things don't spread. That just seemed to work better for the pollinators. It just keeps the whole ecosystem a little more even. So we're learning just like you guys are learning. The university works really hard to stay on top of things. So that's why slow-mo is just don't mow as often and let it get a little bit taller, maybe 4 inches and then down to 3.5, or even 4.5 inches or 5 inches and then down to 4.5 or 4 inches. It makes your lawn look really lush and beautiful, too.
Oh,
and the
that's
grass
true.
Grows deeper roots. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, makes a big difference. I've learned over the years from you and your colleagues. Let's grab a phone call, Teresa, this morning. Jim, I believe, is first up here on the phone. Jim's calling from Maplewood. Hi, Jim. What is your question?
Well, I forgot to trim a couple of oak trees, and I'm wondering, and I know it's too late to trim off those bottom couple of branches, can I manage the growth by just snapping off the leaves coming off these branches that I want to trim so that the growth is directed to the higher branches? Or will that expose my tree to
oak? What I would do is I would just wait this year if you possibly can. By doing any wounding, snapping off leaves or anything, you create opening in the tree where then the insects or the oak wilt can get in, and you just don't want to do that. So better safe than sorry, just to say, we'll just have to catch it next year. You could always have a certified arborist look at it, and they could suggest a safe way to do it if they have a way to do it. But otherwise, I would just leave it till next year just to be on the safe side.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Here's a question we get quite often, actually, Teresa. A texter says, I have moss taking over my grass. How do I kill it and control it?
Good question. If you don't want the moss there, moss can be a beautiful ground cover. But moss thrives in an area that is low fertility, compacted soil, and not a lot of air circulation. So it might be kind of humid in that area. So you need to mitigate one or more of those issues, and then physically remove the moss is the easiest, and then just plant some grass seed, and that will work. Make sure if you're planting the grass seed that you do it sooner rather than later. We're kind of past the best time to do it, but the nights are still cool, the days are still cool, so hopefully that grass can get up and growing and take over some of that area where the moss was. But you do need to increase the fertility and deal with the compaction, so you may want to aerate that area in the fall.
Very good. Back to the phones we go. Mary, first up, you're calling in from Cedar, Minnesota. Hi, Mary. What is your question?
Yeah, I have a problem with my rhubarb. It's It comes up. It's great. The whole bunch of it comes up, but it's no bigger than a pencil. And it's been that way for a couple of years now. I don't know what to do with it.
What you might want to do, Mary, that's a really good question, because we love our rhubarb and our strawberry rhubarb pies and everything else. So what you may want to do is add a little fertilizer to the rhubarb. They're very heavy feeders. So you could either side dress or top dress with the compost, or use a regular fertilizer, a granular fertilizer that you use in with your flowers or your vegetables. Something like that would work. It's not going to be an immediate response because the plant's already kind of going on what's in the soil now. But if you add some compost, say in the spring and again in the fall, and do that for a year or two, you'll find that your rhubarb should get a little more strong, a little bigger.
Okay, very good. Before we take a quick break, let's grab another phone call. Catherine's calling in from Blaine this morning. Catherine, what is your question?
Good morning, guys. Thank you so much. I have buckthorn, and I'm just wondering, what do I do with it? I mean, it is spreading, and how do you get rid of it?
Catherine, I am so sorry that you have buckthorn. That's a tough one. And on the Extension website, extension.um.edu, we do have some good information on how to get rid of buckthorn, whether you cut it down and immediately treat, if you can pull out the small ones, and then the big ones you cut down and immediately treat with a chemical that will kill buckthorn. It will say that it's good for buckthorn right on the open wound. As soon as you cut it off at the ground, you paint that on the stem, or you cut it off at 3 feet tall, and then you paint the top so you know exactly which plants are buckthorn when they're starting to sprout again. And then try not to disturb the soil too much once you pull everything out. There's a lot of seeds in the soil, and those seeds, when they start becoming disturbed and move to the top of the soil again, everything out. There's a lot of seeds in the soil, and those seeds, when they start becoming disturbed and move to the top of the soil again and see sunlight or get close to the sunlight, they start sprouting again. So you've got a seed bank in there you've got to worry about, but I would go to extension.umn.edu. And good luck, Catherine.
Very good. Let's take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in on the conversation, 651-461-9226. Any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Right now in the Twin Cities, we've already moved to 55 degrees. High today, 75. For Mother's Day tomorrow, could be 84. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning, Julia. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming any kind of a lawn or garden question you might have. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering all of those particular questions. And, of course, Teresa, as I said, we have many. I'm going to grab some text messages, but you know what? Let's grab a phone call first. Let's go to Waseca County. I think Tom is there in Otisco. Tom, good morning. What is your question?
Yes, a very good morning to you. This year, as usual, I have a good crop of dandelions. Also, I have a number of these purple small plants infiltrated my lawn. I plan on spraying my lawn with commercial grade 2,4-D this next week. Will this take care of these? I've been told they're violets. Will that take care of the problem, do you think?
That's a good question. What I would do is I would read the label of the chemical that you're using. If it does not list dandelions and violets or Canadian violets, then I would not use that product. I would go to your garden center, maybe even bring in a sample of the violet to make sure it is violet, not Creeping Charlie, and then ask them, what can I use to spray? The label will tell you whether or not that chemical will actually work on those plants. So read the label. If the plants aren't listed, go to the garden center and ask them what you should be using. And then always read and follow the label instructions, because the label is the law. Good luck.
Very good. Listener says this, can I cut back the green stems on my daffodils to a couple of inches rather than tying up the stems until they die? And will this put energy back into the bulbs?
What I would do is, if it's just the stem where the flower was, if it's green and you don't, the stem,
you can cut that off, but you do need to leave the leaves up and growing. As long as they are still green and growing, they're bringing energy down into the bulb. The sooner you cut them off, the less food they'll have to flower next year. So if it's just the flowering stalk you want to cut off, yes, it photosynthesizes, but it looks kind of bad. The leaves don't look as bad, so you can cut the stems down, but do leave the leaves up and growing as long as possible.
All right. This tester, Teresa, says, I have a peony garden that has what I think are some fungi growing in the mulch. Is that harmful to the peonies? Should I try to remove it?
Oh, okay. If it's just if it looks like mushrooms or some kind of fungus in the mulch, don't worry about it. It's not going to impact your peonies at all. You can just fluff up the mulch a little bit, or just cut those spore bodies out if you want to take them out, if you don't like the look of them. Otherwise, they won't hurt the peonies at all.
All right, good. This listener wants to know, what's the key to growing lavender plants from seed?
Okay, that's going to take a really long time, but you can do it. You have to get the lavender to sprout. If you're looking for lavender that's sort of perennial in Minnesota, you want to look at the English lavenders, the Munsteads, or the Hidcotes. Those are the two that you want to look at. Those are the most hardy. And then once they're up and growing and they're acclimated to being outside, the plants need to be in full sun in a very, very, very well-drained soil. And I would leave them up in the wintertime if you want to put some extra leaves around them. That would be good. Take those leaves off quite early. They can get a crown rot if they get too wet in the spring. And hope for the best. They're a short-lived perennial forest, and sometimes they die out in the center. But they want it hot and dry and really sunny and really well-drained soil. Good luck with that.
Teresa, I'm looking at this next text, and it starts with grubs! Exclamation mark. When we were repairing a large batch of grass, we found grubs. We finished seeding, but now what?
Okay, so I would definitely, if you can, get some of the grubs, because you're going to have to look at them under like a little, like not a microscope, but something that you can look and see all their little parts a little bit easier. Then go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. Go to the lawn care section and find where the grubs are. And then identify the grubs and how big they are. And then the Extension site will tell you exactly what you should be using and when you should apply it. Sometimes if the bugs or the grubs are so big, it doesn't make sense to use anything because they're going to pupate into the beetles, so you don't have to worry about it. If they're smaller or if there's certain types, then there are chemicals that you can use, pesticides that you can use on your lawn. But go to the Extension website and identify which grub you're seeing and go from there. Good luck.
That is such a great resource. I'm glad you brought it up. Extension.umn.edu. Check it out. You'd be amazed at how much information you can find out there. Another text. I have some Autumn Joy sedum, which has doubled in size and needs to be divided. Looks like early spring is when I should have done that. Is it still okay to divide those plants?
Yep, go ahead and divide them now. Get them done as quickly as possible, and they'll be just fine. It's a nice hardy plant for us, and I'm glad that you're having good luck with it, because the pollinators really like that plant come late summer and into the fall.
You can call or text in your lawn and garden question for Teresa, 651-461-9226. This week, Texter says, I planted a new peony bush I purchased from a garden center, a full plant, not a bare root. Should I fertilize? How often to water? Any care tips for a newly planted peony would be appreciated.
Okay. So first of all, hopefully you planted at the same depth it was in the pot. Don't plant it deeper than that. It does need full sun. Keep it well watered this year. Not soaking wet, but well watered. You don't want it to get too droughty. I would probably wait for fertilizing till it's settled in a little bit. Maybe just give it some fertilizer at the end of July, something like that, or even the end of June, you can give it a little bit of fertilizer. It should be just fine. Sometimes when their roots are disturbed, they don't bloom for a year or two, so be patient with it, and it will be just wonderful. Good luck with your new peony. That's exciting.
How about dandelions, Dexter says? Are they perennials or annuals?
Oh, dandelions. They are a wonderful plant. Okay, so a lot of people love them. They are a perennial. They have a deep taproot. If you have one dandelion plant and it doesn't go to seed, it's not going to send out runners like mint or creeping Charlie or anything like that. It'll just stay one dandelion plant. However, more seeds can blow in, and then they will establish and they will start growing. But a dandelion is a perennial. Aren't we lucky?
Yeah. Yes, yes, I think so. Oh, for some, yes. I'll go with yes. Tell you what, let's do this, Teresa. Let's take a break. Have a look at that forecast. Fishing opener weekend, Mother's Day tomorrow. We'll see what the weatherman has to say about that when we come back after the break on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long here along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions this morning. And for the next, almost half hour or so, call it in, text it in, 651-461-9226. I'm looking at, I tell you what, let's do this. We have a phone call. Jim's calling in from St. Francis this morning. Jim, good morning. What is your question for Teresa?
Yes, good morning. In my backyard, I have a decent lawn, but I have random circles. They're 12 to maybe 12 to 18 inches in diameter, and the grass dies on the perimeter of the circle with some grass still alive in the middle. Could it be that I'm spraying weeds at that particular spot and the chemical is doing that? But I really doubt that. Can you tell me what you think that would be?
Jim, that's a tricky one. What I would do is I would first of all look at the extension website. It could be a fungal disease that you're seeing in the lawn. You need to look at what's going on the edge and how big they are. If you have a dog, you have to worry about that issue. That could be dog spots. But there are fungal and bacterial diseases that can exist in our lawns, and you do want to look at that. So I would definitely go to the extension website and look at the different diseases that are showing up in the lawn. And then if that doesn't help you, then perhaps take some pictures and you can send them in to the Ask a Master Gardener. That's on the extension page down at the bottom. You can send up to 3 pictures, and you might get a picture of what it looks like far away, and then maybe with something like a ruler to show how big it is, and then a close-up of where the edge of the dying area meets the edge of the good lawn. Sometimes that helps, a good close-up. Hope that will help you out. Good luck, Jim.
Very good. 651-461-9226. This listener has 8 tulip bulbs that are all leaves, no stems, so no bloom. Is there something I can do or dig them out?
There's nothing you can do this year to make them bloom. What you may want to do is fertilize them this year. Leave those leaves up as long as you possibly can. The longer they're up and photosynthesizing, the more energy will go into the bulb for next year's flowers. And it could just be that some of the tulips, the later ones, the ones that bloom really late, the peony tulips and the really pretty parrot tulips, they aren't as heartily coming back. They don't reliably come back for us. So in the next few years, they just send up leaves and they don't do much. And in that case, you can dig them up and throw them away or put them in your compost bin, or just let them naturally die in your garden and they'll compost in place.
I think this next question is a common one on a lot of folks' mind this morning. When can you plant tomato plants outside that you started by seed inside?
Okay, make sure, first of all, that you harden off your plants. Any plants that have been inside growing in a beautiful condition, you want to get them used to being outside. And that means putting them out in the shade for a few days when the temperatures are above 60 degrees, making sure they're well watered, that they don't get too dry from the wind, and then bringing them back in at night and gradually putting them in a little sunny area. It takes about a week to harden them off. Once the ground is nice and warm, you can plant your tomato plants. If you're planting in a container, you could probably do it next weekend. Otherwise, I would wait till Memorial Day at least for sure to make sure the ground is warm enough. If you plant those tomato plants in cold soil, they could die. They could just sit there and not do anything, or they could just limp along all summer long and not do much for you. So it's just easier just to wait till the ground's nice and warm and then plant your tomatoes, and they have a better chance of doing what you want them to do.
All right, very, very good. Let's go back to the phones, Teresa. Jane is calling in this morning from Minneapolis, I believe. Jane was impatient. So Jane's gone, but Jane will probably call back.
No, hopefully Jane will call back.
Very good. This, and we have many text messages. This is another one. I'm going to plant a small tree in my front yard in the next couple of weeks and was considering planting a star magnolia tree. Someone at a local nursery suggested that I reconsider planting a magnolia tree because of magnolia scale. Is it a serious enough concern that I should reconsider planting that magnolia tree?
It is a serious enough concern. I know I lost my magnolia to magnolia scale. It's treatable, but it's a lot of work, a lot of effort, and there may be another small plant you want to put out there instead, maybe a small crabapple or even a small apple tree or something like that may be nice. Even a serviceberry could be a good substitute, depending upon how big you want it, how much sun it's going to get. So I would maybe reconsider the magnolia, unless you want to keep it small and keep a really close eye on it, and you're willing to deal with what may or may not happen. And if it gets scale and you just say, well, too bad, you take it out and put something else in, but you may have had a few years of enjoyment with the magnolia.
Listener wants a little advice on how to plant a clematis.
Oh, that's a good question. First of all, make sure that it's hardy for our zone and that you understand its planting requirements, whether it's a 1, 2, 3, or ABC, however they list it. And that tells you how it flowers on new or old wood or both. What you want to do then is you want to make sure it has a good organic soils. Probably want to add some compost back into the hole. This is one plant along with tomatoes that you actually plant a little deeper. So you may want to bury one or two leaf nodules of the plant, so you're planting it a little bit deeper. This is just in case of clematis wilt, and it gives it more roots to come back from. Otherwise, just plant it. Make sure the soil has lots of compost and it's nice and rich for it. Water it in very well. Protect it from bunnies and squirrels that kind of run over it and break everything off. And you should be just fine. Clematis likes its roots kind of cool. So make sure it's not going to be baking in the hot sun, that there's a nice mulch or some plant cover there. And then it usually likes the flowers to have a little bit of sun or full sun. And you'll be just having fun with your clematis. Good luck to you.
Before we get back to the phones, another clematis question that just came in. They have yellow leaves. What do they need?
It could be too much water, not enough water, so you want to make sure that that's being looked at first. If it's just yellowing leaves on a certain branch, it could be that a squirrel or something has broken the branch, the stem. They're very brittle, so they break very easily. So make your way back down to the base of the plant and see if it's broken somewhere or bent. That could be it. It's probably not clematis wilt yet, so that's probably not something you have to worry about. I'm thinking more it's a physical something that's happened to the plant. It's been, you know, hit by a crazy squirrel or a ball or just overwatered or underwatered. So check those conditions first.
Back to the phones we go. Frank is calling in first from Roseville this morning. Frank, good morning. What is your question?
Hi, good morning. I just have a question on coffee grounds. I've read there's some benefits sometimes for using it. And I'm wondering if they offer any control if you wear them around your plants, for instance, keep the deer over, et cetera.
You know, they will smell like coffee, so that may deter some critters. But animals get used to smells very quickly, and if there's no apparent danger after a little while of smelling it, they're going to ignore it. They add a little bit of nitrogen to the soil, so you can gently or lightly sprinkle them over the soil. You want to make sure you're not sprinkling your coffee grounds too thickly, because they can crust over and then actually prevent the water from getting to the plants. So you want to make sure it's just lightly sprinkled on the soil. But it's a great way to reuse our coffee grounds and get them into the soil. It adds more organic matter.
All right, let's move to another phone call, Teresa. Larry is calling in from Maple Lake. Larry, good morning. What is your question for Teresa?
Yes, it's about apple trees that are failing to bloom. They're Honey Gold and Harrelson, planted about 25 feet apart. I bought them, like I said, 3 years ago, and I haven't gotten an apple yet. And I'm wondering if they need some type of fertilizer.
That's a good question. So first of all, they're still pretty young. They're babies. You want to look at the tags and see if they're a dwarf, a semi-dwarf, or a full-size tree. Dwarf, that's the rootstock that they're on. The dwarf trees usually start blooming and producing fruit from 3 to 5 years old. A semi-dwarf can take 5 to 7, and a full-size tree can take up to 10 years. The Honeycrisp is even a little longer than that. That one pushes out a few years because that one's just a little slower to develop. So I would be patient with them. Make sure that they're in the right zone, that you have got them in, whether you're a 3 or a 4 or a 5, make sure they're hard to that zone. Sometimes when we get a late frost, the frost can kill the buds. And the tree is fine, the leaves are fine, but the buds just aren't hardy enough to survive a frost. One of our master gardeners had a pear tree that had just part of it flowering because the rest had been hit by a frost, and we all kind of diagnosed that that's what had happened. It looked kind of interesting on her picture. So that can happen. Frost can just come in, and it's just a degree or two and can destroy the flowers. But be patient and do double check what size of tree you got, and that will tell you again how soon you can expect it to be starting to fruit. Good luck with that, Larry.
As we head to this quick break, Teresa, I'm just going to read this next text, and I think this person might be a candidate for the U of M website, but maybe you have something in mind. Their request is your favorite recommendation for a flowering shrub that would get all day south sun and would not grow more than 4 by 4 feet. Something to think about as we head to this break during our Smart Garden Show. Keep in mind, coming up next hour, Andy Lindis returns with answering any kind of a home improvement question you might have. That's next hour on our Home Improvement Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your lawn and garden questions. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering those very questions. You know what? I posed a question before we took a break. What do you think, Teresa, with that suggestion about a flowering shrub that would get all day south sun?
Sure. I could think of some. I thought of an ever-blooming rose in your favorite color would be absolutely gorgeous. There's lots of spireas, depending on what size you want to get them, and they can be pruned quite nicely if you need to keep it pruned in a certain shape or to make that size. And you can underplant them with coral bells or dianthus, something like that in the front would be gorgeous. Baptisia, although that's a perennial, it can get a little bit tall, maybe 4 to 5 feet tall, and that will bloom for you. Looks like a shrub, but it does die to the ground in the wintertime, and then it comes back again. So it can be a big perennial like that. And then, of course, there's some of the hydrangeas. Most of them will be a lot bigger, but you can find some of the smaller ones. You can go onto the extension website. There's a landscaping area where you can actually plug in the requirements that you want, and some suggestions will come up for you. So your options are pretty wide open, and good luck on that.
This next text wants to know, can I still trim a shrub rose now?
Sure, you can go ahead and trim your shrub roses. That, no problem.
All right. This listener has a huge hydrangea that needs help. It's over the eaves, and right now it still has the old blossoms. What would happen, they want to know, if I just cut it down, leaving a little at the bottom?
I'm not going to guess on this one. I'm going to send you to the extension website. Julie has put together some really good information on hydrangeas. I would send you there. Make sure you know the kind of hydrangea. So go to extension.umn.edu. I'm going to tell you the wrong thing because you haven't told me which hydrangea you have. So I'm not going to guess.
Okay, looking at another text, checking our time. We have a few minutes to go. Spirea bushes. I have spirea bushes, and they are getting too big. I would like to cut them back maybe a lot. What's a good time of the year to do that, and how far back can I cut them?
Okay. Again, it depends on what spirea. Most of the spireas, you can cut them back anytime, prune them to size, however you want them. The bridal wreath spirea is one that's a little different. It blooms on old wood. Any cutting back now would cancel out next year's flowers. There is something called renewal pruning that you can do. Again, I would suggest go to the extension website and look under renewal pruning if you're dealing with something like a bridal wreath spirea. And can I just mention some sales, Danny?
Sure, let's do.
Okay, so Hennepin County is having their plant sale on the 18th at the Hopkins Pavilion in Hopkins from 9 to 2. Rand County is having their plant sale, their Master Gardener plant sale, on that same day. Lots of your Master Gardeners will be having plant sales. So try to attend if you possibly can. That's all.
That's all. That's always a fun time. It's a fun time.
It's wonderful.
For sure,
it's crazy busy, yeah. And so much fun. And we'll have lots of Master Gardeners at both sales, so you can get all your other questions answered, too. And good plants.
Very good. Thanks for bringing that up. That's great. Thank you for being, the texter says, thank you for being with us each Saturday. Yes, our pleasure. Is it too soon to plant impatience in my window boxes today?
I would say it's probably okay depending upon where you are. If you're up north, I'd wait a little while. If you're down here in the cities, it looks like it's going to be warm. We should be just fine. Just keep an eye on those nighttime temperatures. I don't see them dipping below 40 degrees, but if they do, you may just want to give them, those impatiens, a little cover with a sheet or something. Otherwise, you should be just fine.
We'll be in luck this week because the temps will be in the 50s, maybe even in the upper 50s overnight. So that looks good.
Yeah, you ordered great weather, Danny. You ordered
fantastic
weather.
It's all me. Yeah, it's all me.
It's all you.
I wish. Our daughter and son-in-law, texter says, are in a new development, and the only dirt under the grass, I'm not sure what they're saying here, with the sod. Anyway, what they're trying to say is water sits on top and doesn't drain. Any advice on improving the soil? Can they start aerating now?
Oh, well, you know, if the sod isn't attached, what you could do is just roll up the sod again and maybe add some compost and mix it into the top of that soil a little bit and then put the sod back on. That's a lot of work. If the sod hasn't grown yet, any aerating you do will just pull it right up. So it's kind of, you know, maybe talk to people that put down the sod and in the new development say, what do you suggest we do? That's probably the route I would go unless you want to pull everything up and redo it again. Good luck with that. That's kind of tricky because you got to keep it moist.
For sure. Wow, yeah. That's tough. We're almost out of time. Mulching new apple trees. Should I use fabric underneath?
No, do not use fabric under the mulch, especially if you're doing a rock mulch, you have to put the fabric down. The fabric stops the rocks from working into the soil. If you're doing wood chip mulch, do not put fabric underneath it. Make sure that you bring the mulch up to about maybe 6 inches within the trunk of the tree. Leave a little barren space of soil between the mulch and the tree trunk. You never want the mulch to touch the tree trunk. And if you're going to add mulch, I would water the soil first, then add the mulch, and maybe even water in the mulch. It doesn't really help the mulch, but it just keeps that hydration going through the soil for the trees. Good luck with that.
couple of minutes to go. Let's see. How long, texter says, after applying pre-emergent, do I have to wait to plant grass seed? Good question.
That's a really good question. Read the label. If you've used it all and thrown the package away, go back to where you got it and read the labels that are there in the store. That will tell you. Every product is different, so I can't just guess. Then we're going to get into June and July where it's really too hot to overseed. So you'd want to follow the lawn care calendar and start seeding the end of August into September. Make sure that's growing before you add your winterizer. But the extension has a really great lawn care calendar and lawn information. So I would definitely look at that. But if you've already thrown the package away, you're going to have to find the package and let it tell you how long you have to wait.
Let's get a real quick answer here. Can shredded paper be used in compost?
Yes, shredded paper will be a brown for you if you're looking. Yes, shredded paper works just great. No shiny stuff.
And don't forget to get to the Arboretum. In fact, bring Mom there tomorrow, right?
Bring Mom there. You do need to get a reservation. Make sure you have your reservation. The plant sale is booked out, but there's lots of other events going on at the Arboretum. It's just beautiful. Tulips and crab apples and everything are blooming, so enjoy them very much.
Absolutely. Teresa, thanks so much for all the work. I know we'll talk again.
We will. Thanks, Denny. Bye, everybody. Right.
Master Gardener Teresa Runa answering those questions this morning. Now, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis. That's coming along next hour on our Home Improvement Show. In the Twin Cities, we're going to have 75 the high today, 84 tomorrow. Right now, 55 on CCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering all of your lawn and garden questions this morning. Teresa, good morning. Hello, Teresa. There she is.
Hello there. Here I am.
I knew you were there somewhere. Good morning. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. And you're not surprised, I know, when I told you there were already and have been getting lawn and garden questions, even as much as early this morning, earlier this morning.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and it's that time of year. Now, if you have any kind of a lawn and garden question for Teresa, by all means, sooner rather than later, give us a call or send a text, 651-461-9226. All right, we're already on a roll here, Teresa. Before I ask you what you're going to be doing in your yard or garden today, let me tell you this. Evidently, there is a lot of confusion, and I'll just read it. Good morning. Can you please clarify why and how, quote, no-mow May should be slow-mow summer instead? Lots of confusion among my neighbors. That comes from Jane.
There is a lot of confusion among everyone about that. When we first heard about no-mow May, it sounded like a really good idea. Don't mow your grass. Let the pollinators enjoy everything. And then once they're all up and going and other stuff is growing, then you can start mowing your yard. Then they did a little more research and found out it wasn't that beneficial, and that if we just think of our yard as an ecosystem or your lawn, and then just let it grow a little bit taller, mow it a little less frequently, let some of the flowers in there, like maybe the dandelions, or if you have a bee lawn, the clover, let those bloom, and then you can cut off all the flowers before they go to seed, and then things don't spread. That just seemed to work better for the pollinators. It just keeps the whole ecosystem a little more even. So we're learning, just like you guys are learning. The university works really hard to stay on top of things. So that's why slow-mo is just don't mow as often and let it get a little bit taller, maybe 4 inches and then down to 3.5, or even 4.5 inches or 5 inches and then down to 4.5 or 4 inches. It makes your lawn look really lush and beautiful, too.
Oh,
and
that's true.
The grass grows deeper roots. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, makes a big difference. I've learned over the years from you and your colleagues. Let's grab a phone call, Teresa, this morning. Jim, I believe, is first up here on the phone. Jim's calling from Maplewood. Hi, Jim. What is your question?
I forgot to trim a couple of oak trees, and I'm wondering, and I know it's too late to trim off those bottom couple of branches, can I manage the growth by just snapping off the leaves coming off these branches that I want to trim so that the growth is directed to the higher branches? Or will that expose my tree to oak?
What I would do is I would just wait this year if you possibly can. By doing any wounding, snapping off leaves or anything, you create opening in the tree where then the insects or the oak wilt can get in, and you just don't want to do that. So better safe than sorry, just to say, we'll just have to catch it next year. You could always have a certified arborist look at it, and they could suggest a safe way to do it if they have a way to do it. But otherwise, I would just leave it till next year just to be on the safe side.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Here's a question we get quite often, actually, Teresa. A texter says, I have moss taking over my grass. How do I kill it and control it?
Good question. If you don't want the moss there, moss can be a beautiful ground cover. But moss thrives in area that is low fertility, compacted soil, and not a lot of air circulation. So it might be kind of humid in that area. So you need to mitigate one or more of those issues, and then physically remove the moss is the easiest, and then just plant some grass seed, and that will work. Make sure if you're planting the grass seed that you do it sooner rather than later. We're kind of past the best time to do it, but the nights are still cool. The days are still cool, so hopefully that grass can get up and growing and take over some of that area where the moss was. But you do need to increase the fertility and deal with the compaction, so you may want to aerate that area in the fall.
Very good. Back to the phones we go. Mary, first up, you're calling in from Cedar, Minnesota. Hi, Mary. What is your question?
Yeah, I have a problem with my rhubarb. It comes up. It's great. A whole bunch of it comes up, but it's no bigger than a pencil. And it's been that way for a couple of years now. I don't know what to do with it.
What you might want to do, Mary, that's a really good question because we love our rhubarb and our strawberry rhubarb pies and everything else. So what you may want to do is add a little fertilizer to the rhubarb. They're very heavy feeders. So you could either side dress or top dress with the compost or use a regular fertilizer, a granular fertilizer that you'd use in with your flowers or your vegetables. Something like that would work. It's not going to be an immediate response because the plant's already kind of going on what's in the soil now. But if you add some compost, say in the spring and again in the fall, and do that for a year or two, you'll find that your rhubarb should get a little more strong, a little bigger.
Okay, very good. Before we take a quick break, let's grab another phone call. Catherine's calling in from Blaine this morning. Catherine, what is your question?
Good morning, guys. Thank you so much. I have buckthorn, and I'm just wondering, what do I do with it? I mean, it is spreading, and how do you get rid of it?
Catherine, I am so sorry that you have buckthorn. That's a tough one. And on the Extension website, extension.um.edu, we do have some good information on how to get rid of buckthorn, whether you cut it down and immediately treat, if you can pull out the small ones, and then the big ones you cut down and immediately treat with a chemical that will kill buckthorn. It will say that it's good for buckthorn right on the open wound. As soon as you cut it off at the ground, you paint that on the stem, or you cut it off at 3 feet tall, and then you paint the top so you know exactly which plants are buckthorn when they're starting to sprout again. And then try not to disturb the soil too much once you pull everything out. There's a lot of seeds in the soil, and those seeds, when they start becoming disturbed and move to the top of the soil again, everything out. There's a lot of seeds in the soil, and those seeds, when they start becoming disturbed and move to the top of the soil again, and see sunlight or get close to the sunlight, they start sprouting again. So you've got a seed bank in there you've got to worry about, but I would go to extension.umn.edu. And good luck, Catherine.
Very good. Let's take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in on the conversation, 651-461-9226. Any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Right now in the Twin Cities, we've already moved to 55 degrees. High today, 75. For Mother's Day tomorrow, could be 84. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning, Julia. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming any kind of a lawn or garden question you might have. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering all of those particular questions. And, of course, Teresa, as I said, we have many. I'm going to grab some text messages, but you know what? Let's grab a phone call first. Let's go to Waseca County. I think Tom is there in Otisco. Tom, good morning. What is your question?
Yes, a very good morning to you. This year, as usual, I have a good crop of dandelions. Also, I have a number of these purple small plants infiltrated my lawn. I plan on spraying my lawn with commercial grade 2,4-D this next week. Will this take care of these? I'm told they're violets. Will that take care of the problem, do you think?
That's a good question. What I would do is I would read the label of the chemical that you're using. If it does not list dandelions and violets or Canadian violets, then I would not use that product. I would go to your garden center, maybe even bring in a sample of the violet to make sure it is violet, not Creeping Charlie, and then ask them, what can I use to spray? The label will tell you whether or not that chemical will actually work on those plants. So read the label. If the plants aren't listed, go to the garden center and ask them what you should be using. And then always read and follow the label instructions, because the label is the law. Good luck.
Very good. Listener says this, can I cut back the green stems on my daffodils to a couple of inches rather than tying up the stems until they die? And will this put energy back into the bulbs?
What I would do is, if it's just the stem where the flower was, if it's green and you don't the stem, you can cut that off, but you do need to leave the leaves up and growing. As long as they are still green and growing, they're bringing energy down into the bulb. The sooner you cut them off, the less food they'll have to flower next year. So if it's just the flowering stalk you want to cut off, yes, it photosynthesizes, but it looks kind of bad. The leaves don't look as bad, so you can cut the stems down, but do leave the leaves up and growing as long as possible.
All right. This tester, Teresa, says, I have a peony garden that has what I think are some fungi growing in the mulch. Is that harmful to the peonies? Should I try to remove it?
Oh, okay. If it looks like mushrooms or some kind of fungus in the mulch, don't worry about it. It's not going to impact your peonies at all. You can just fluff up the mulch a little bit, or just cut spore bodies out if you want to take them out, if you don't like the look of them. Otherwise, they won't hurt the peonies at all.
All right, good. This listener wants to know, what's the key to growing lavender plants from seed?
Okay, that's going to take a really long time, but you can do it. You have to get the lavender to sprout. If you're looking for lavender that's sort of perennial in Minnesota, you want to look at the English lavenders, the Munsteads, or the Hidcotes. Those are the two that you want to look at. Those are the most hardy. And then once they're up and growing and they're acclimated to being outside, the plants need to be in full sun in a very, very, very well-drained soil. And I would leave them up in the wintertime. If you want to put some extra leaves around them, that would be good. Take those leaves off quite early. They can get a crown rot if they get too wet in the spring. And hope for the best. They're a short-lived perennial forest, and sometimes they die out in the center. But they want it hot and dry and really sunny and really well-drained soil. Good luck with that.
Teresa, I'm looking at this next text, and it starts with grubs! Exclamation mark. When we were repairing a large batch of grass, we found grubs. We finished seeding, but now what?
Okay, so I would definitely, if you can, get some of the grubs, because you're going to have to look at them under like a little, like not a microscope, but something that you can look and see all their little parts a little bit easier. Then go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. Go to the lawn care section and find where the grubs are. And then identify the grubs and how big they are. And then the Extension site will tell you exactly what you should be using and when you should apply it. Sometimes if the bugs are, or the grubs are so big, it doesn't make sense to use anything because they're going to pupate into the beetles, so you don't have to worry about it. If they're smaller or if there's certain types, then there are chemicals that you can use, some pesticides that you can use on your lawn. But go to the Extension website and identify which grub you're seeing and go from there. Good luck.
That is such a great resource. I'm glad you brought it up. Extension.umn.edu. Check it out. You'd be amazed at how much information you can find out there. Another text. I have some Autumn Joy sedum, which is doubled in size and needs to be divided. Looks like early spring is when I should have done that. Is it still okay to divide those plants?
Yep, go ahead and divide them now. Get them done as quickly as possible, and they'll be just fine. It's a nice hardy plant for us, and I'm glad that you're having good luck with it because the pollinators really like that plant come late summer and into the fall.
You can call or text in your lawn and garden question for Teresa, 651-461-9226. This week, texter says, I planted a new peony bush I purchased from a garden center, a full plant, not a bare root. Should I fertilize? How often to water? Any care tips for a newly planted peony would be appreciated.
Okay. So first of all, hopefully you planted at the same depth it was in the pot. Don't plant it deeper than that. It does need full sun. Keep it well watered this year. Not soaking wet, but well watered. You don't want it to get too droughty. I would probably wait for fertilizing till it's settled in a little bit. Maybe just give it some fertilizer at the end of July, something like that, or even the end of June, you can give it a little bit of fertilizer. It should be just fine. Sometimes when their roots are disturbed, they don't bloom for a year or two, so be patient with it, and it will be just wonderful. Good luck with your new peony. That's exciting.
How about dandelions, Dexter says? Are they perennials or annuals?
Oh, dandelions. They are a wonderful plant. Okay, so a lot of people love them. They are a perennial. They have a deep taproot. If you have one dandelion plant and it doesn't go to seed, it's not going to send out runners like mint or creeping Charlie or anything like that. It'll just stay one dandelion plant. However, more seeds can blow in, and then they will establish and they will start growing. But a dandelion is a perennial. Aren't we lucky?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I think so. Oh, for some, yes. I'll go with yes. Tell you what, let's do this, Teresa. Let's take a break. Have a look at that forecast. Fishing opener weekend, Mother's Day tomorrow. We'll see what the weatherman has to say about that when we come back after the break on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long here along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions this morning. And for the next, almost half hour or so, call it in, text it in, 651-461-9226. I'm looking at, I'll tell you what, let's do this. We have a phone call. Jim's calling in from St. Francis this morning. Jim, good morning. What is your question for Teresa?
Yes, good morning. In my backyard, I have a decent lawn, but I have random circles. They're 12 to maybe 12 to 18 inches in diameter, and the grass dies on the perimeter of the circle with some grass still alive in the middle. Could it be that I'm spraying weeds at that particular spot and the chemical is doing that? But I really doubt that. Can you tell me what you think that would be?
Jim, that's a tricky one. What I would do is I would first of all look at the Extension website. It could be a fungal disease that you're seeing in the lawn. You need to look at what's going on in the edge and how big they are. If you have a dog, you have to worry about that issue. That could be dog spots. but there are fungal and bacterial diseases that can exist in our lawns, and you do want us to look at that. So I would definitely go to the Extension website and look at the different diseases that are showing up in the lawn. And then if that doesn't help you, then perhaps take some pictures and you can send them in to the Ask a Master Gardener. And that's on the Extension page down at the bottom. You can send up to 3 pictures. And you might want to get a picture of what it looks like far away, and then maybe with something like a ruler to show how big it is, and then a close-up of where the edge of the dying area meets the edge of the good lawn. Sometimes that helps a good close-up. Hope that will help you out. Good luck, Jim.
Very good. 651-461-9226. This listener has 8 tulip bulbs that are all leaves, no stems, so no bloom. Is there something I can do or dig them out?
There's nothing you can do this year to make them bloom. What you may want to do is fertilize them this year. Leave those leaves up as long as you possibly can. The longer they're up and photosynthesizing, the more energy will go into the bulb for next year's flowers. And it could just be that some of the tulips, the later ones, the ones that bloom really late, the peony tulips and the really pretty parrot tulips, they aren't as heartily coming back. They don't reliably come back for us. So in the next few years, they just send up leaves and they don't do much. And in that case, you can dig them up and throw them away or put them in your compost bin or let them naturally die in your garden and they'll compost in place.
I think this next question is a common one on a lot of folks' mind this morning. When can you plant tomato plants outside that you started by seed inside?
Okay, make sure, first of all, that you harden off your plants. Any plants that have been inside growing in a beautiful condition, you want to get them used to being outside. And that means putting them out in the shade for a few days when the temperatures are above 60 degrees, making sure they're well watered, that they don't get too dry from the wind, and then bringing them back in at night and gradually putting them in a little sunny area. It takes about a week to harden them off. Once the ground is nice and warm, you can plant your tomato plants. If you're planting in a container, you could probably do it next weekend. Otherwise, I would wait till Memorial Day at least for sure to make sure the ground is warm enough. If you plant those tomato plants in cold soil, they could die. They could just sit there and not do anything, or they could just limp along all summer long and not do much for you. So it's just easier just to wait till the ground's nice and warm and then plant your tomatoes, and they have a better chance of doing what you want them to do.
All right, very, very good. Let's go back to the phones, Teresa. Jane is calling in this morning from Minneapolis, I believe. Jane was impatient. So Jane's gone, but Jane will probably call back.
No, hopefully Jane will call back.
Very good. And we have many text messages. This is another one. I'm going to plant a small tree in my front yard in the next couple of weeks and was considering planting a star magnolia tree. Someone at a local nursery suggested that I reconsider planting a magnolia tree because of magnolia scale. Is it a serious enough concern that I should reconsider planting that magnolia tree?
It is a serious enough concern. I know I lost my magnolia to magnolia scale. It's treatable, but it's a lot of work, a lot of effort. And there may be another small plant you want to put out there instead. Maybe a small crabapple or even a small apple tree or something like that may be nice. Even a serviceberry could be a good substitute, depending upon how big you want it, how much sun it's going to get. So I would maybe reconsider the magnolia, unless you want to keep it small and keep a really close eye on it and you're willing to deal with what may or may not happen. And if it gets scale and you just say, well, too bad, you take it out and put something else in, but you may have had a few years of enjoyment with the magnolia.
Listener wants a little advice on how to plant a clematis.
Oh, that's a good question. First of all, make sure that it's hardy for our zone and that you understand its planting requirements, whether it's a 1, 2, 3 or ABC, however they list it. And that tells you how it flowers on new or old wood or both. What you want to do then is you want to make sure it has a good organic soils. Probably want to add some compost back into the hole. This is one plant, along with tomatoes, that you actually plant a little deeper. So you may want to bury one or two leaf nodules of the plant, so you're planting it a little bit deeper. This is just in case of clematis wilt, and it gives it more roots to come back from. Otherwise, just plant it. Make sure the soil has lots of compost and it's nice and rich for it. Water it in very well. Protect it from bunnies and squirrels that kind of run over it and break everything off. And you should be just fine. Clematis likes its roots kind of cool. So make sure it's not going to be baking in the hot sun, that there's a nice mulch or some plant cover there. And then it usually likes the flowers to have a little bit of sun or full sun. And you'll be just having fun with your clematis. Good luck to you.
Before we get back to the phones, another clematis question that just came in. They have yellow leaves. What do they need?
It could be too much water, not enough water, so you want to make sure that that's being looked at first. If it's just yellowing leaves on a certain branch, it could be that a squirrel or something has broken the branch, the stem. They're very brittle, so they break very easily. So make your way back down to the base of the plant and see if it's broken somewhere or bent. That could be it. It's probably not clematis wilt yet, so that's probably not something you have to worry about. I'm thinking more it's a physical something that's happened to the plant. It's been, you know, hit by a crazy squirrel or a ball or just overwatered or underwatered. So check those conditions first.
Back to the phones we go. Frank is calling in first from Roseville this morning. Frank, good morning. What is your question?
Hi, good morning. I just have a question on coffee grounds. I've read there's some benefits sometimes for using it. And I'm wondering if they offer any control if you wear them around your plants, for instance, keep the deer away, et cetera.
You know, they will smell like coffee, so that may deter some critters. But animals get used to smells very quickly, and if there's no apparent danger after a little while of smelling it, they're going to ignore it. They add a little bit of nitrogen to the soil, so you can gently or lightly sprinkle them over the soil. You want to make sure you're not sprinkling your coffee grounds too thickly, because they can crust over and then actually prevent the water from getting to the plants. So you want to make sure it's just lightly sprinkled on the soil. But it's a great way to reuse our coffee grounds and get them into the soil. It adds more organic matter.
All right, let's move to another phone call, Teresa. Larry is calling in from Maple Lake. Larry, good morning. What is your question for Teresa?
Yes, it's about apple trees that are failing to bloom. They're Honey Gold and Harrelson, planted about 25 feet apart. I bought them, like I said, 3 years ago, and I haven't gotten an apple yet. And I'm wondering if they need some type of fertilizer.
That's a good question. So first of all, they're still pretty young. They're babies. You want to look at the tags and see if they're a dwarf, a semi-dwarf, or a full-size tree. Dwarf, that's the rootstock that they're on. The dwarf trees usually start blooming and producing fruit from 3 to 5 years old. A semi-dwarf can take 5 to 7, and a full-size tree can take up to 10 years. The Honeycrisp is even a little longer than that. That one pushes out a few years because that one's just a little slower to develop. So I would be patient with them. Make sure that they're in the right zone, that you have got them in, whether you're a 3 or a 4 or a 5, make sure they're hard to that zone. Sometimes when we get a late frost, the frost can kill the buds. And the tree is fine, the leaves are fine, but the buds just aren't hardy enough to survive a frost. One of our master gardeners had a pear tree that had just part of it leaf flowering because the rest had been hit by a frost, and we all kind of diagnosed that that's what had happened. It looked kind of interesting on her picture. So that can happen. Frost can just come in and it's just a degree or two and can destroy the flowers. But be patient and do double check what size of tree you got, and that will tell you again how soon you can expect it to be starting to fruit. Good luck with that, Larry.
As we head to this quick break, Teresa, I'm just going to read this next text, and I think this might be this person might be a candidate for the U of M website, but maybe you have something in mind. Their request is your favorite recommendation for a flowering shrub that would get all day south sun and would not grow more than 4 by 4 feet. Something to think about as we head to this break during our Smart Garden Show. Keep in mind, coming up next hour, Andy Lindis returns with answering any kind of a home improvement question you might have. That's next hour on our Home Improvement Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your lawn and garden questions. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering those very questions. You know what? I posed a question before we took a break. What do you think, Teresa, with that suggestion about a flowering shrub that would get all day south sun?
Sure. I could think of some. I thought of an ever-blooming rose in your favorite color would be absolutely gorgeous. There's lots of spireas depending on what size you want to get them, and they can be pruned quite nicely if you need to keep it pruned in a certain shape or to make that size. And you can underplant them with coral bells or dianthus, something like that in the front would be gorgeous. Baptisia, although that's a perennial, it can get a little bit tall, maybe 4 to 5 feet tall, and that will bloom for you. Looks like a shrub, but it does die to the ground in the wintertime, and then it comes back again. So it can be a big perennial like that. And then, of course, there's some of the hydrangeas. Most of them will be a lot bigger, but you can find some of the smaller ones. You can go onto the extension website. There's a landscaping area where you can actually plug in the requirements that you want, and some suggestions will come up for you. So your options are pretty wide open, and good luck on that.
This next text wants to know, can I still trim a shrub rose now?
Sure, you can go ahead and trim your shrub roses. That, no problem.
All right. This listener has a huge hydrangea that needs help. It's over the eaves, and right now it still has the old blossoms. What would happen, they want to know, if I just cut it down, leaving a little at the bottom?
I'm not going to guess on this one. I'm going to send you to the extension website. Julie has put together some really good information on hydrangeas. I would send you there. Make sure you know the kind of hydrangeas. So go to extension.umn.edu. I don't want to tell you the wrong thing because you haven't told me which hydrangea you have. So I'm not going to guess.
Okay, I'm looking at another text, checking our time. We have a few minutes to go. Spirea bushes. I have spirea bushes, and they are getting too big. I would like to cut them back maybe a lot. What's a good time of the year to do that, and how far back can I cut them?
Okay. Again, it depends on what spirea. Most of the spireas, you can cut them back anytime, prune them to size, however you want them. The bridal wreath spirea is one that's a little different. It blooms on old wood. Any cutting back now would cancel out next year's flowers. There is something called renewal pruning that you can do. Again, I would suggest go to the extension website and look under renewal pruning if you're dealing with something like a bridal wreath spirea. And can I just mention some sales, Danny?
Sure, let's do.
Okay, so Hennepin County is having their plant sale on the 18th at the Hopkins Pavilion in Hopkins from 9 to 2. Rand County is having their plant sale, their Master Gardener plant sale, on that same day. Lots of your Master Gardeners will be having plant sales. So try to attend if you possibly can. That's all.
That's all. That's always a fun time. It's a fun time.
It's wonderful.
For sure,
it's crazy busy, yeah. And so much fun. And we'll have lots of Master Gardeners at both sales, so you can get all your other questions answered, too. And good plants.
Very good. Thanks for bringing that up. That's great. Thank you for being, the texter says, thank you for being with us each Saturday. Yes, our pleasure. Is it too soon to plant impatiens in my window boxes today?
I would say it's probably okay, depending upon where you are. If you're up north, I'd wait a little while.
if you're down here in the cities, it looks like it's going to be warm. We should be just fine. Just keep an eye on those nighttime temperatures. I don't see them dipping below 40 degrees, but if they do, you may just want to give them, those impatiens, a little cover with a sheet or something. Otherwise, you should be just fine.
We'll be in luck this week because the temps will be in the 50s, maybe even in the upper 50s overnight. So that looks good.
Yeah, you ordered great weather, Denny. You ordered
fantastic weather. It's all me. Yeah, it's all me.
It's all you.
I wish. Our daughter and son-in-law, a texter says, are in a new development, and the only dirt under the grass, I'm not sure what they're saying here, with the sod. Anyway, what they're trying to say is water sits on top and doesn't drain. Any advice on improving the soil? Can they start aerating now?
Oh, well, you know, if the sod isn't attached, what you could do is just roll up the sod again and maybe add some compost and mix it into the top of that soil a little bit and then put the sod back on. That's a lot of work. If the sod hasn't grown yet, any aerating you do will just pull it right up. So it's kind of, you know, maybe talk to people that put down the sod and in the new development say, what do you suggest we do? That's probably the route I would go unless you want to pull everything up and redo it again. Good luck with that. That's kind of tricky because you got to keep it moist.
For sure. Wow, yeah. That's tough. We're almost out of time. Mulching new apple trees. Should I use fabric underneath?
No, do not use fabric under the mulch, especially if you're doing a rock mulch, you have to put the fabric down. The fabric stops the rocks from working into the soil. If you're doing wood chip mulch, do not put fabric underneath it. Make sure that you bring the mulch up to about maybe 6 inches within the trunk of the tree. Leave a little barren space of soil between the mulch and the tree trunk. You never want the mulch to touch the tree trunk. And if you're going to add mulch, I would water the soil first, then add the mulch, and maybe even water in the mulch. It doesn't really help the mulch, but it just keeps that hydration going through the soil for the trees. Good luck with that.
A couple of minutes to go. Let's see. How long, texter says, after applying pre-emergent, do I have to wait to plant grass seed? Good question.
That's a really good question. Read the label. If you've used it all and thrown the package away, go back to where you got it and read the labels that are there in the store. That will tell you. Every product is different, so I can't just guess. Then we're going to get into June and July where it's really too hot to overseed. So you'd want to follow the lawn care calendar and start seeding the end of August into September. Make sure that's growing before you add your winterizer. But the extension has a really great lawn care calendar and lawn information. So I would definitely look at that. But if you've already thrown the package away, you're going to have to find the package and let it tell you how long you have to wait.
Let's get a real quick answer here. Can shredded paper be used in compost?
Yes, shredded paper will be a brown for you if you're looking. Yes, shredded paper works just great. No shiny stuff.
And don't forget to get to the Arboretum. In fact, bring Mom there tomorrow, right?
Bring Mom there. You do need to get a reservation. Make sure you have your reservation. The plant sale is booked out, but there's lots of other events going on at the Arboretum. It's just beautiful. Tulips and crab apples and everything are blooming, so enjoy them very much.
Absolutely. Teresa, thanks so much for all the work. I know we'll talk again.
We will. Thanks, Denny. Bye, everybody. Right.
Master Gardener Teresa Runa answering those questions this morning. Now, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis. That's coming along next hour on our Home Improvement Show. In the Twin Cities, we're going to have 75 the high today, 84 tomorrow. Right now, 55 on CCO.